I'll be your regular daddy if you put that gun away. Lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packing mama, lay that pistol down. And was I having fun until one night she caught me right, and now I'm on the run. Lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packing mama, lay that pistol down. Now there was old Al Dexter, he always had his fun, but with some lead she shot him dead. His honking days are done. Lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packing mama, lay that pistol down.
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
I need liposuction. Under my chin. Well, everywhere. I hate the bump on my nose. I hate my breasts. And my stomach has stretch marks. They make me sick. I'd like those to go away. Been saving up my money for
this.
Anyone 5 WMFO Medford.
They're getting closer.
Oh yeah? Watch this.
Watch what?
And now, before the next show starts, let's enjoy an intermission. You'll find our snack bar chock full of good things to eat and drink. Tasty, tempting hot dogs, thirst-quenching soft drinks, fresh, crunchy popcorn, a complete assortment of delicious candy, and a full line of cigarettes. You've plenty of time, so visit the snack bar now. A tasty treat will double your enjoyment of the show. For your convenience, we shall keep you informed of the remaining intermission time, 3 minutes before the next show starts. The next show will start in 2 minutes.
Just a minute, folks. Yes, that's all it takes to visit our refreshment counter in the lobby. There you'll find popcorn and an assortment of popular candy bars to please every taste. Try one of these delicious candy bars. Big Time, Butternut, Milkshake, Payday. Topped with Hollywood's super rich coating of the kind you like best. They taste wonderful, they're delicious, they're nutritious. Get one at our confection counter in the lobby now.
The next show will start in 1 minute.
Boys and girls, your attention, please. Presenting a new exciting radio program featuring the thrilling adventures of an amazing and incredible personality.
Why, hello, everyone. It is Watch This on WMFO in Medford. My name is Chris Earle. Thank you for listening, and thank you for watching those movies and television programs over the years. After 10 years of doing my music show, Time Travel, I was thinking what to do next. I looked around and I saw all my Blu-rays, my DVDs, my VHS tapes, and had a revelation that I have just as many movies as I did music. So why not do a new show and do it with a rotating panel of friends and family? So over the next 2 hours, we're going to be discussing movies and playing movie soundtracks. My friend Stephanie is here, and she has come in with her five flicks today. And we are going to start right up with flick number one. It is from 1974. You are listening to Watch This on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, Freeform Radio.
Of the mind of Mel Brooks.
I love him.
Young Frankenstein.
Can you hear me? Give my creation life!
This guy means business.
Young Frankenstein.
What shall we throw in now?
Starring Gene Wilder as Dr. Frankenstein.
That's Frankenstein.
But what about your grandfather's work, sir?
My grandfather's work was doo-doo!
Peter Boyle as the monster.
Wow!
Marty Feldman as Igor.
My grandfather used to work for your grandfather.
I'm sure we'll get along splendidly. Oh, sorry.
Cloris Leachman as Frau Blucher.
You played that music in the middle of the night?
Yes!
To get us into the laboratory.
Yes!
And it was you who left my grandfather's book out for me to find.
Yes!
So that I would...
Yes!
Then you and Victor were...
Say it. He was my boyfriend!
Cary Grant as Inga.
Would you like to have our roll in the hay? Roll, roll, roll in the hay.
Kenneth Mars as the inspector. And Madeline Kahn as Elizabeth.
Where am I?
Calm down.
What are you going to do to me?
I'm not afraid of you. Listen. I have to be back by 11:30. I'm expecting a very important call.
Kill the monster!
Storm El Caso!
It's midnight!
See Mel Brooks' Young Frankenstein.
Yes, I think we could all use a good laugh.
But don't see it alone. Don't miss Young Frankenstein, personally directed by Mel Blazing Saddles Brooks, in black and white. No offense.
No offense. All right, first movies from 1974. It is Mel Brooks' Young Frankenstein. It is a comedy horror film directed by Mel Brooks and starring Gene Wilder as the title character, Victor Frankenstein. Peter Boyle is the monster. Terry Garr is in there. Cloris Leachman, Marty Feldman, Madeline Kahn, Kenneth Mars, and Gene Hackman as the blind man. I believe his name is Harold. Stephanie, why did you pick this one?
I picked Young Frankenstein because it's one of my all-time favorite movies. I love every actor, the comedic timing. Just every line is brilliant. It's nostalgic. I saw it in the movies at the small movie theater in the town I grew up in. I love it. I just think it's hysterical, well written.
It's funny. It's probably it's a lot of people's favorite Mel Brooks movie. I think it's probably mine. I love the producers too, but I think I like Young Frankenstein the best. It's definitely his most technical. And he does such an awesome job, like, recreating Frankenstein and the Bride of Frankenstein, like the scene with Gene Hackman. And I actually have that on here, and we can play it when he meets him. It's almost exactly like Bride of Frankenstein. He plays it up just like the blind man in Bride of Frankenstein. And it's comical, because you see the 1935 Bride of Frankenstein, and Gene Hackman and Peter Boyle are almost exactly doing the same exact scene. Like, there's not a whole lot of jokes there. They're just doing pretty much the exact same scene, but it's so funny that the way that they do it. Because they have different reactions than the original characters from 1935. So, this was offered two Oscars, nominated for two Oscars. One was for Best Sound, and the other was for Best Screenplay, and Mel Brooks and Gene Hackman, and Gene Wilder actually wrote it. Gene Wilder, very, very, very funny man, and I wish he had done more toward the end, but I read a few of his books, and he talked about Gilda Radner and living with her and being married, and then she ended up having cancer. It's called Kiss Me Like a Stranger. Which was very good.
Brilliant couple.
Yeah. Yeah. And Terry Garr, of course, is in this. And she has the nice knockers in the movie. And I met her at the Gaylord Hotel in Kentucky.
Wow. What were you doing there?
Meeting Terry Garr. I also met Squiggy that day. It was an MS convention. I was there because I was working for the MS Society for a number of years, Multiple Sclerosis Society. I raised a lot of money, and I think I saved a lot of people along the way, or at least made their lives quite a bit better.
Sure.
So I was down there. I was representing my company, and we were doing a lot of campaigns for bikes and walk runs. And Terry Garr was one of the speakers there, and so was David Lander, who was Squiggy from Laverne and Shirley.
Wow.
So I got to hang out with him. I'll tell you something. Terry Garr... gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, I bet she's as nice as she seems.
Yeah, very, very nice. Very poised. Big smiles. All things considering she was just recently diagnosed with it at the time. But what a nice lady. She was really cool. Very, very charming. Only two people I've really met that were real big stars. It was her and Dolly Parton. I'm like, man, that's a star. Yeah, Dolly Parton's super
great.
Nice, too. David Lander was very nice, but he was kind of further ahead with his diagnosis. So he was being his wife was basically fielding a lot of people. So they come over to talk to him, and she would talk instead. And you know, he said hi and shook my hand, and that was about it. He was pretty messed up.
Wow.
But yeah, it was pretty interesting. That was quite a while ago now. It was in the early 2000s. But yeah, what a great lady Terry Garr was. So over the years, this was made into a musical. They tried to do the same thing as they did with The Producers, and they did a musical. I never got to see that, though.
I haven't either, and I really can't imagine it as a musical. I'm curious about it at this point, but, you know, maybe...
I heard it was very funny. It didn't do as well as The Producers, of course, but I heard that it did pretty well. And I'm sure you could probably find it somewhere, because there's always these high schools looking for plays and stuff.
Sure.
And
I'm seeing
Spamalot, the Monty Python one, is like always playing somewhere at some high school in
Godspell.
Town or college. So the storyline, for those of you that do not know Frankenstein or Young Frankenstein, so young neurosurgeon in the 70s is Gene Wilder. He inherits the castle of his grandfather, Dr. Victor von Frankenstein, but he likes to call himself Frankenstein because he doesn't like to be known for his grandfather's work. So in the castle, he finds a funny hunchback called Igor and a lab assistant named Inga, who's Terry Garr, and Marty Feldman plays Igor, and the old housekeeper, Frau Blucher, and then it's a whinny noise. It's like a horse noise. It was Cloris Leachman. And young Frankenstein believes the work of his grandfather is only junk, but when he discovers the book where the mad doctor describes reanimating a corpse, he suddenly changes his mind and creates Frankenstein. And they have a wonderful number. They have a wonderful musical number of putting on the Ritz in the middle of the movie.
Do you know why the horses do that whenever they say Frau Blucher?
They're scared of her, but what was the reasoning behind it?
I believe Blucher means glue in German.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the horses hear that and they think, oh, they're sending me to the glue factory.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's funny.
That is pretty cool. I have a little bit of trivia here. We like to throw some trivia in while we're talking about this stuff. The trailer that we played at the beginning was actually Mel Brooks. So he was the narrator in the trailer talking about himself, saying, you know, the famous Mel Brooks, I love him, and yeah. It's him who's talking about himself. Gene Wilder stated this was his favorite of all the films that he made. There was also a shifting hump. If you watch Igor's back, it's constantly moving. So his hump is constantly moving. Marty Feldman, who was a very, very funny man, had been shifting the hump back and forth for several days when cast members finally noticed he did it. And then they added it to the script because it originally wasn't in the script. So that was something that he did. Another ad-libbed line, Gene Hackman, the blind man's parting line, I was going to make espresso. And Gene Hackman, who was coming off of The French Connection at the time, he was uncredited. So nobody knew he was in the movie, which is pretty cool. So you see Gene Hackman, who just had won all these accolades for The French Connection, showing up in the middle of Mel Brooks' movie doing comedy was pretty hot at the time. How about they improv the dialogue of Frau Blücher offering warm milk and Ovaltine?
Oh, yeah.
I like that, Ovaltine.
Their accent.
Did you have an aunt or a grandmother that had Ovaltine at the house every time you went over?
Yeah, I think I did. Everyone in the 70s. Yeah, sure.
And you would put the spoon in and it would just stick.
Stand up.
It would just stick in there. It actually, I didn't think it was that bad, but Ovaltine, I'm not even sure if they still make it. It was almost like, it looked like rocks.
Yeah.
Like little gray rocks.
It was like a chocolate milk.
Yeah, Nestle Quick. That was just some sugar. You just put it in there and it tasted delicious. But Ovaltine supposedly had vitamins and stuff in it.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see if Ovaltine still exists. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. I also read that Cloris Leachman was cast to have Terry Garr's part in this movie. And when she read the script, she said, no, I want to be Frau Blücher. And she sort of created her own look and ad-libbed a lot of her lines as well. So
that's pretty cool.
She's pretty brilliant.
Yeah. I saw her recently on, it was a Comedy Central roast, and she was really funny. She did a really good job.
She's up there in age, too, and she's still got it.
I think she's 85.
Wow.
I think that's what she is. I think that's what I saw. Ovaltine was introduced in 1904. It's related to hot chocolate, Nesquik, and Yoo-hoo. It was originally advertised as malt, milk, eggs, and flavored with cocoa. Flavored with cocoa.
Flavored.
Ugh. I guess they still make it. Ovaltine was banned in Denmark, forbidding the sale of food products that have added vitamins unless there are claims that are proven to the satisfaction of Denmark. And then, 2 years later, they reversed their decision and put Ovaltine back on the market.
Wow.
I feel like every time we say Cloris Leachman's character's name, we have to do the horse sound. She's 92 years old.
Wow, 92.
Yeah. You ever see The Last Picture Show?
I have not seen that film.
Jeff Bridges is in it, and Sybil Shepherd, and Cloris Leachman's in it, and a guy named Timothy Bottoms. Ellen Burstyn's also, and it's a great movie as well from 1971, by a guy named Peter Bogdanovich. Cloris Leachman's in that as well.
She was just in The Comedian with...
Robert De Niro?
Yes.
How was that? I didn't see that.
It's cutesy.
Yeah.
It's good. Kind of a little sad. I liked it.
Uh-huh.
But she has a little, you know, she's funny in it anyway, her small parts.
That's pretty good,
typical
though. I mean,
Cloris Leachman.
To have that, what did we say, 92 years old, and here she is still getting work and stuff? Man, it's awesome.
And doing roasts.
I don't get work, and I'm 46. But I'm not Cloris Leachman, of course.
You're close.
Close. Yeah. Oh, she was on Mary Tyler Moore, too.
Yes, she was Phyllis.
Mm-hmm.
She had her own show, Phyllis, a spinoff of that, too.
Mel Brooks, does he show up in Young Frankenstein? I'm trying to remember.
I don't believe he does.
No? He does. He does the howl at the beginning of The Wolf. Okay. I know that. But I'm wondering if he doesn't, because he shows up as like Yoda in, or Yogurt in Spaceballs.
Oh, he does, yes.
And he's the mayor and a few other people in Blazing Saddles.
Yeah. And he may have a cameo in that, but I cannot recall seeing him or him being recognizable in that film.
Hmm. Let me see. Looks like there was a lot of ad-libbing on the set there. I'm reading that Madeline Kahn, when they lean in to kiss Gene Wilder and her kiss, her second quip of no tongues was ad-libbed by Kahn.
No tongues.
I love the part with Marty Feldman attacking the fur her neck, too, when they first come in.
Yeah, and that line was all ad-libbed as well when he says, you know, you take the one with the turban. I don't know how he says it, but it's pretty funny. It's a lot of brilliant lines in that movie.
Yeah. You take the blonde, I'll take the one with the turban. Gene Wilder was ranked number 9 on Premier Magazine's 100 Greatest Performances of All Time for this movie, Frederick Frankenstein. What's great about it, I remember being a kid, too. It was curious because I'm like, is this a horror movie or is this a drama or what? Because they play it straight. And usually, like, all these comedies, you know, you saw this madcap stuff from, like, the 50s and 60s and stuff. And growing up as a kid, it's like, I didn't really understand that at first. You don't really understand it when you're really young.
Right.
You know, when you're seeing people doing straight comedy and not, you know, guffawing and laughing and, you know, well, Three Stooges type of stuff, you know, you expect when you're kids. So it was really kind of cool to experience that as you get a little older and you start getting that... growing into your sense of humor and what you like. And Mel Brooks, like, he has a lot of very clever stuff in here based on, like, the other movies and making fun of the genres. Because, like, in a lot of the later stuff in, like, Blazing Saddles, a lot of it's just pee-pee-poo-poo stuff.
Yeah.
But he has quite a bit of great writing in this one. I think Gene Wilder helped a lot with that script.
Although there is a poopy undies line by Madeline Kahn at the end when she's married to the creature.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in the bathroom on getting ready for bed and, you know, separate your poopy undies.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cute. I think of it every time I do the laundry, so.
Yeah.
One of those funny lines.
Its budget was $2.76 million, and it made $86.2 million. So it was a big hit by 20th Century Fox. Again, it was directed by Mel Brooks. And it was based, of course, on Frankenstein by Mary Shelley. When Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein, she was 18 years old.
Wow.
I remember reading this, and I had to read it for English class, I think, in high school. And I'm about 15 or 16. And I'm like, she wrote this at 18. I'm like, I got to write something by 18. And then 18 came and went, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. But it's good. I like Dracula. You ever read Dracula?
I've not read Dracula.
That's excellent. Bram Stoker's Dracula. But, you know, Frankenstein's good. I was surprised when I read it, you know, because I thought it was going to be more of a horror, and it's not. It's more like sublime and gothic type of thing. But let's see what else we got here. So Young Frankenstein was a box office success upon its release. Again, it grossed $86.2 million. If you look at Rotten Tomatoes, it's got a 93% fresh rating. And on IMDb, it's got an 8.0 out of 10. Soundtrack was by One Way Records. ABC Records originally released it in 1974, and then One Way Records issued it on CD. There's pieces of dialogue intertwined with the music, the background music and the incidental music. LP and the disc are now out of print. And of course, I go in and I secure that by scouring the internet for all of the wonderful listeners out there on WMFO.
Great research, Chris.
Thanks. So, again, great movie, Young Frankenstein. I'm gonna play the scene with Gene Wilder and Peter Boyle when they meet one another here. Be back in a moment. It is Watch This here on WMFO in Medford.
A visitor is all I ask. A temporary companion to help me pass a few short hours in my lonely life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Joy and my prize from heaven. Oh, you must have been the tallest one in your class. My name is Harold, and I live here all alone. What is your name? I didn't get that. Nope. Oh, forgive me. I didn't realize you were a mute. You see how heaven plans. Me, a poor blind man, and you, a mute. An incredibly big mute. But your hand is frozen, my child. How does a nice bowl of soup sound to you, huh?
Yes, well, I know what it means to be cold and hungry.
Yes.
And how much it means to have a little kindness from a stranger. Are you ready for your soup?
Hold out your bowl, then. Oh, my friend, you don't know what your visit means to me. How long I've waited for the pleasure of another human being. And sometimes in our preoccupation with worldly matters, we tend to forget the simple pleasures that are the basis for true happiness.
But yes, yes, yes. Oh, and now a little wine with your soup, huh? Good, good. Good, good. Yes, sir. Wait. A toast. A toast to,
yes,
long friendship. How hungry you must have been. Now for a little surprise. For a special occasion I've been saving.
Cigars.
Take one. Fire is good. Fire is good, yes. Fire is our friend. Yes, I'll show you.
I'll show you.
You see?
Yeah.
Do you have your cigar?
Let me see.
Now. I just hold it right there. Now, don't inhale until the tip glows.
Make espresso.
We're going to go right on to flick number two. This one's from 1983. Also, just a quick shout out to John Morris, who composed all the music to Young Frankenstein.
Summer, when you think vacation, think National Lampoon's Vacation. See the real America.
Hey, underpants. Hey, yellow.
It's friendly.
I'm okay.
Don't you want to look at the Grand Canyon?
It's educational.
Great.
And most of all, it's fun.
The dog went on the picnic basket.
Let Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo, Imogene Coca, Randy Quaid, John Candy, and Christie Brinkley.
Well, are you going to go for it?
This is crazy.
Take you for a ride. This summer, when you think vacation, think National Lampoon's Vacation.
Better check under the hood.
Flick number two, National Lampoon's Vacation from 1983. Another great pick, Stephanie.
Thank you.
And this soundtrack is great. In the background is something called Little Boy Sweet by June Pointer. I believe she's one of the Pointer sisters. Sounds like a Pointer sister.
It does.
Right?
I never made that connection before.
Yep. Very cool 80s soundtrack. And, of course, Lindsey Buckingham with Holiday Road, one of the greatest movie songs of all time. It's like when you hear Holiday Road, you think of vacation.
Every time.
I saw Lindsey Buckingham a couple times, too, solo. He's great. One of the best guitarists. And he also has the second song toward the end. It wasn't as popular as Holiday Road, but that is on the soundtrack as well. So this was directed by a guy named Harold Ramis, who did Ghostbusters, of course. He shows up as Egon in Ghostbusters, but at the time he had just gotten off of doing Animal House a couple years earlier, so he was hot as a director still. Stars the great Chevy Chase. I think unless you were around at the time like we were, people didn't realize how good Chevy Chase really was.
Yeah.
He was funny. I mean, in late 70s and early 80s, getting off of Saturday Night Live, which he left only after one season, which a lot of people don't know, but he only left after one season, and he started his movie career, and he did a couple of fairly decent movies. He had the Goldie Hawn movies. He had Oh Holy Dog, I think, and he also had the one Foul Play, which was a cool movie.
Seems like old times,
of course. Yep, I was trying to remember that one. Charles Grodin shows up in that one as well. He did a movie called Modern Problems, where a bunch of nuclear waste lands on him and he gets superpowers. That was from like 1980, 81. But this was 83, and Chevy Chase was pretty much one of the biggest stars in the movie business at that point. And this was written by John Hughes. So this is considered one of the John Hughes movies. He did an article in National Lampoon magazine called Vacation 55, I think, or 58 or something like that. And he talked about his family vacation, and they optioned it into a movie.
And Anthony Michael Hall is in this, and he's in other John Hughes films, too.
That's true. Yeah, that's the first time Anthony Michael Hall worked with him, I think. And then he shows up in 16 Candles and Breakfast Club. Trying to catch up here with our vacation trivia.
The Family Truckster.
Oh, you got to talk about The Family Truckster.
I have to talk about that.
One of the most popular cars in the movies. Most recognizable car in the movies of all time.
Did you grew up in the 70s? Did your family have an old station wagon like that?
They did. They had an orange one. It lasted about a half a year, I think. And then my stepfather drove home drunk one night, and it went through the garage. And that was the... Actually, I'm thinking of his Cadillac. That was his Cadillac. But we did have an orange station wagon. And the funny thing was, my stepfather never drank. And like one night, he went out and had a couple and trashed his Cadillac. But that was a story. That was a story for another time. Late in the late 70s, before this movie. But we had the trips to New Hampshire. That was the big trips. If you were from New England, you'd go up to, you know, all the stuff in New Hampshire. And it was kind of episodic as well. Like, you'd go to Polar Caves. Then you'd go to Lost River.
Clark's
Trading Post with all the bears. Or all the bears, as they call it. It was Vacation 58 was the name of the store. It was Vacation 58. So Beverly D'Angelo also in this. Imogene Coca, Randy Quaid, John Candy. And, of course, Christy Brinkley. Who we don't think talks until she finally does.
Right.
Yeah, when they finally hook up at the hotel and go skinny dipping. And I think that was before Billy Joel, or it was during, or that was, yeah, I think that was before Billy Joel.
Yeah.
When she did this movie.
Probably not much before.
Yeah. So she, this came out in the summer of 1983, July 29th to be exact. So it came out, what's that, 30 years ago? Am I doing my math right? Close to it. 35 years ago? 35 years ago. Budget of $15 million, made $61 million. Pretty popular. I remember wanting to see this in the theaters. But at the time, it's 83, so it had to sneak into this one. And I believe my stepfather brought me to see this. So I managed to see this in the theater, which was cool. He brought me to, like, all the Richard Pryor movies, too. Richard Pryor, so used to be able to get into all the R-rated movies. And then finally I realized you really don't need a parent. You just bought a ticket and walked right in. Even though it said nobody under 17 admitted, that was pretty much didn't matter.
No.
Nah.
Who's
nobody
gonna
cared.
Stop you?
Nobody cared. This was interesting when I was going through the cast list. Jane Krakowski is cousin Vicky at this. Basically, she's the one that sticks her hand in the Kool-Aid and shakes it around.
Yes.
And basically stirs it for the family. I forget she was in it, but she's got such a... her face is pretty much exactly the same as when she was a teenager.
Yeah.
So she shows up in it. She, of course, was in 30 Rock with Tina Fey.
Great in that.
Really funny, yeah. Probably my favorite character from 30 Rock, I thought, was her. I thought she was really good in it. This is when they're stuck in the background. If you hear the soundtrack, this is when they're stuck off the road. And he asks the guy, you know, the way to get back to the freeway.
Yeah.
And he says a colorful FY.
Yeah.
And then he says, thank you very much. Yeah. And as he is finally getting directions from somebody else, everything is stolen off the car, like all the hubcaps and the paneling even.
Yeah. They distract him and all the guys go around the car and strip it.
Yeah. Such a great movie. Really funny. Eugene Levy shows up in it. Wally World, of course, is supposed to be Walt Disney World, but then they changed it so they didn't get sued. But everything's pretty much exactly Walt Disney. They changed the mouse into a moose. That's about it.
Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid is Uncle Eddie. Fantastic. He got his own movie. Eventually, they did a Christmas Vacation too. It was like Uncle Eddie. He was the no star kidding. Of that one. Yeah. And interestingly enough, they get the original Audrey back for that movie, which was like from 2003, I believe. Dana Barron as Audrey Griswold was Anthony Michael Hall's sibling in the movie.
I always liked that about the Vacation movies, that the kids always changed in every movie.
Yeah. European Vacation's pretty fun. Yeah. Eric Idle shows up in that.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
And third one everybody loves in Christmas Vacation. That's become one that everybody has on Christmas time. But yeah, all these National Lampoon movies, especially their early ones, are just fantastic. And National Lampoon pretty much like owned the comedy circuit in like the early 70s, early to mid 70s, when nothing else was out there. They had a whole series of not only the magazine, but then they started the radio show and sketch shows, and you know, just kind of blew up. So they were just looking for anything from them. So that's how they got into the movies.
Yeah, there are a few National Lampoon, not just the Vacation franchise, but a bunch of others too, right? Van Wilder and I suppose Animal House. You mentioned that earlier.
Yep, Animal House and a whole bunch of different things over the years. There's a great thing on Netflix right now that talks about National Lampoon and Doug Kenny, who was one of the founders of the National Lampoon. It stars Will Forte from SNL.
Love him.
And I'm trying to remember what it's called, but it's worth checking out if you have Netflix. Let me just look real quick. I know I talked about it a little while ago. Well, National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon 1, Senior Trip, Joy of Sex was one of them, Movie Madness, Class Reunion.
I've seen Class Reunion.
Yeah.
I've never met anyone else who's ever seen Class Reunion.
I don't know Donna if I've Dixon. Seen that one. Oh, Donna Dixon, that's Dan Aykroyd's wife.
It is.
Yeah. They're still married, surprisingly.
They are. Did they meet on, I want to say they met around Spies Like Us.
I think it was Spies Like Us,
Another Chevy Chase movie, which is very funny.
Yeah. I actually rewatched that a couple months ago.
Yeah, that's
Spies
a good
Like
one.
Us and Three Amigos.
Oh, yeah, Three Amigos. It's great. I saw that in the movies too back in the day.
Me too, yeah. I'm going to look up Will Forte because this is bothering me just to see what the name of this movie was that came on.
I'm just reading while you're looking for that. It was Harold Ramis' daughter, Violet, who played Cousin Eddie's daughter in one of the Vacation movies, too.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
A Futile and Stupid Gesture is the name of the movie. It's Doug Kenny, and talks about the National Lampoon, the rise and fall of National Lampoon. It's worth checking out on Netflix.
Well, my brother was a big collector of the Mad magazines back in the day.
Yeah.
They were great.
I was a Mad magazine reader, too. Not so much a National Lampoon one, but I got into that a little bit later after they were all done, pretty much. Not as popular, at least, you know, because that was something that was an early 70s type of thing. You know, and in the 80s, growing up as a kid, you had the Mad magazine and Cracked and Crazy and stuff like that. And National Lampoon was for the older teenager crowd and college crowd. I love when they go to the Grand Canyon and the Old West.
and they shoot
them behind the bar.
Check out the Grand Canyon for like a second. Looks good.
Yeah, it's a fun movie.
Imagine driving cross country in a family truckster.
Did you guys, did you and your family drive across country or anywhere?
We did. I remember a family trip. Most of us, I think all, a couple of my siblings, not all of us, but and my parents, we drove in a conversion van up to Canada one summer. That was, I don't remember, you know.
How many people?
Would have been five of us, I think. Five or six. In a small van.
Yeah.
You know. We used to do some camping as a kid. We had a camper that sat on top of the back of the truck with five small kids.
Nice.
And
everybody got along, of course.
Well, me being the baby, we had an intercom. So anytime somebody would pick on me, I would go on the intercom to my parents in the cab of the truck and say, you know, they're hitting me, they're teasing me. And one time my father just pulled over on the side of the road, climbed in the back of the camper, and spanked all five of us. We didn't say anything. He just got back in the truck and drove away, and we were silent for the rest of the trip, I think. Fun memories back in the 70s.
That's a bummer. So you had four siblings?
Yes, I have four siblings, yep.
All older?
All older.
You get along with all of them?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Vegas Vacation, we were forgetting.
That's right.
That one showed up in the late 90s.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even think I've seen that one.
Oh, it's not my favorite, but I definitely like it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, I don't think. The remake of Vacation was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you see it?
I did see it.
Yeah. There's a couple parts that are kind of gross, like a little over the top, like when they're swimming in the raw sewage was pretty nasty. But that part with the guy from It's Sunny in Philadelphia, when he's on the raft, I laughed so hard at that. I rewound and watched that scene like 8 times, and I laughed every single time. They basically have he's on the raft, and he's their guide, and he breaks up with his girlfriend like right before he has to bring them down the rapids. And they start playing like Harry Nilsson's Without You in the background. Yeah. And he wants to kill himself while he's on the raft with the family. And they're going into the rapids. Oh, it's so funny.
Right.
I died laughing watching that. And there was a lot of other funny parts in it. And Chevy Chase makes a cameo in that, which was cool.
Yeah, he does. He plays the father, right? It's Rusty.
Yeah,
plays himself.
Yeah, and
Griswold,
I think... Yeah, and Ed Helms is Rusty, right? Yeah, he plays Rusty. So you literally do have like 5 different Rusties in all these movies.
Yeah.
And then it said National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation 2 was Cousin Eddie's Island Adventure, which is from 2003, which I never saw that one.
No.
There's one called Hotel Hell Vacation 2, which is a short film from 2010. I don't know anything about it.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. But Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo are in it. And it's 14 minutes long.
Well, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
My daughter's a huge vacation movie fan. If they're on, sometimes they do marathons, play one right after the other. She will not leave the TV.
Very cool. This is that other Lindsey Buckingham song I was talking about. It's like Dancing Across the USA or something like that.
It must just sort of play in the background or at the end.
Yeah, Dancing Across the USA. He just got kicked out of Fleetwood Mac, which kind of annoys me.
Yeah.
Stevie Nicks, I think, has got a lot of problems. I love her, but I think she's got a lot of problems. Because I think she specifically said he's out of the band.
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
I think that's what happened, yeah. Because they got together for this big reunion, and everybody wants to go see him.
Yep.
And it's like, well, now it's like Lindsey Buckingham's not there. So that's like seeing Van Halen without David Lee Roth.
Right.
And then they finally get David Lee Roth, and then Michael Anthony's not with him.
Right.
It's like, who the hell wants to see him? They're not together.
Right.
Right? So, so I'm not going to see them. I like Fleetwood Mac, but I'm not going to see him without Lindsey Buckingham. I saw him alone. He was great. And I was listening to this Christine McVie and Lindsey Buckingham album that came out last year, which I think is one of the reasons why Stevie Nicks has this sore point, because it was supposed to be a Fleetwood Mac record. And they were like, Stevie, you got to write some stuff and put it on this album because we're writing stuff and you're not writing it. You're out touring your solo albums.
Yeah.
And she didn't do it. And the other members of Fleetwood Mac actually contributed to the album, so it was the four of them without Stevie Nicks.
Wow.
And I think that's why she had a falling out with Lindsey Buckingham, because he wanted to do some of the songs he did with Christine McVie, and I think she got jealous.
Yeah.
I don't know that whole thing. I think they were all like that that album, what is it, Mirage, where they're all on the cover in bed. Like, that happened, like, their entire careers.
Right.
So it's like, how do you get together, like, after 40, 50 years of all this, like, not only music stuff, but band stuff, but life stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they were living together, and,
And they were all, I mean, they all had that chemistry. But why are they replacing Lindsey Buckingham with two guitarists?
Yeah, it's Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, who's fantastic, and Neil Finn, who's the front man of Crowded House, and was part of Split Enz.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess you need two of them to make up for Lindsey Buckingham. But Mike Campbell's a great guitarist, and Neil Finn's got a great voice, too. But, I don't know. I like both of those guitars, but no, it's not Fleetwood Mac.
No, you're right. I agree. It needs to be Lindsey.
Yeah. So, vacation 1983. Any other memories? Any other vacations? What's the best vacation you've been on? Can you think of one?
Oh my gosh!
As a kid, maybe with the family.
As a kid, Disney World.
Disney World with the family.
That's pretty fun, yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you my favorite vacation. And this is going to sound funny, but it was traveling across the U.S. on my own. It was with nobody.
That
was a great vacation.
Yeah,
it was a great vacation. I did that in the mid-90s, and I that's why I think I was telling you, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to get in the car, and I put out a U.S. map. I started looking up like friends that I know and family members, and I started putting a pin on the U.S. map, like, okay, Stephanie's in Arizona, put a pin there. And like, okay, my friend Tony's up in Alaska, put a pin there. And I'm like, so where do I go with the car? And I'm like, that's pretty cool. I think I'm thinking I'm going to do it, especially I got a little bit of time. I think I'm still planning that. And the thing is, I was going to do it in the summer. I'm like, you know what? Why not go south when the summer ends here? And the weather's still staying nice down south. So I think I'm going to do that.
Do it.
We'll see what happens. But that's National Lampoon's vacation. Anything else would you like to say about it?
I did want to add, Chevy Chase was adopted as a child by one of the heirs of the Crane Estate in Ipswich. You know Crane's Beach?
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and he used to vacation at Castle Hill there. At Crane's Beach in the summertime.
Oh, that's interesting.
Something I learned in the last few years, and someone just reminded me of that while I'm on the show today. So I thought I'd mention it. Kind of a little, you know, proud to be from Ipswich.
That's very cool.
Love the beach.
Yeah, very cool. That's National Lampoon's Vacations, flick number 2. We're going to move on to flick number 3. It's from 1985. Let's watch this. Here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts.
Proud to present the story of a guy.
Good morning. I'm here.
And his bike.
James Bond kind of stuff.
Together for the first time in their first big movie.
I meant to do that.
I say we kill it.
Yeah!
Is Pee-wee Herman.
Hello!
In Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Be sure and tell him Large Marge sent ya. What?
WMFO Medford.
Thanks for stopping. Some night, huh?
On this very night, 10 years ago, along the same stretch of road, in a dense fog just like this, I saw the worst accident I ever seen. There was this sound like a garbage truck dropped off the Empire State Building. When they finally pulled the driver's body from the twisted, burning wreck, it looked like this. Yes, sir. That was the worst accident I ever seen.
I get off right up here.
Have a nice day.
Be sure and tell them Large Marge sent ya.
Alrighty. 1985, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. How can you not love Large Marge? One of the best characters of all time in the movies. She shows up, does her job, and that's it. Scares the hell out of you.
She does.
I remember watching that with my little brothers, and they died laughing at this movie. And they were born in, one was born in 80, the other one was born, the twins were born in 84. So we had this on VHS, back then you could record off HBO or whatever. Right. So I did that because I was a good 10 years older than them, so. We were babysitting, I always put on movies and stuff for them, and they loved Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And I love Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and you love Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
I love Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
I don't think I've run into anybody who doesn't like Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
A lot of people don't like his stuff, but I am a huge fan, and I'm a huge fan of this film.
Yeah.
Not everything that he does, although I think he's brilliant, but
yeah.
This is my all-time favorite.
Yeah.
In fact, I was just at the dinosaur park where the movie was filmed.
I saw that. That is awesome.
It's very fun. Yeah. You get the chance to go. It's